D. Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Teron, we were just talking about Cam Ward. I would love your opinion on this. How much improvement have you seen from Ward overall over the course of the season, specifically since the Titans made the change in play calling from Brian Callahan to Bo Hardigree? Is there anything specific that stands out to you that has improved the most?
I mean, it seems like he's gotten a better feel for the game, and you could tell that he's still dealing with that, looking at it and believing it and letting it rip. But I do think he's done a better job distributing the football. And then on some of the times where he's learned to take a little bit off on some of the throws when he needs to as well.
Teron, correct me if I'm wrong. You asked Cam Ward after the game yesterday about scrambling a little bit more, running a little bit more. We saw what Justin Herbert did yesterday. I know the two of them are not built the same physically. But do you think that Cam Ward has it within him to be an effective scrambler slash runner with the football?
Yeah, I think he could be effective. And what degree of effectiveness, it varies. But I think he could be someone that when it's time to run, to go ahead and do it. And he showed it, and that's why I mentioned what he did in that game against the Chargers. And then you even look at just the ability to run the pass, too. I mean, that's something that he's always done well. And you look at the Iron Man or touchdown, their first connection back earlier this season, and that's what happened there. So I think he can absolutely, but I mean, he's not going to be your Patrick Mahomes, you know, your Lamar Jackson or nothing like that, but he could do enough.
Now, TD, the defense played exceptionally well for the majority of the game. Now, listen, they just don't have, you know, enough guys to go out there and compete man-to-man, you know, with the Chargers. I think the Chargers are a better team. But what the defense was able to do to a Charger team that is explosive, getting to the quarterback six times, causing havoc for him, making it difficult for him. Can this be sustainable by the Tennessee Titans, or is it just that they ran into a team that was dealing with some injuries?
I think it was more of that part of it. Now, I will say there were some stunts and some things that they did well, and they even had sacks before Timkins got hurt and before Joe Alt did. So it's a combination, but to consistently do that, I don't think that's going to happen with the people that they have now. So you do have to go out and bring in better pass rushers to be able to offset, you know, what they have going on. I will say this, though. Denard Wilson did a really good job with the stunts and the things like that.
Do you think they're going to find a way, a legitimate way, to get DK more into the game? That's 2 weeks now, 2 weeks in a row, he's made a big play for this team. And it seems like he is the one that has been the most consistent part of the special teams and or the offense. Has there been talk to get him more involved in what's going on week to week?
Yeah, there has been talk to get him more involved. And I think you're going to continue to see his role have an uptick. And honestly, this whole idea that he's just a slot receiver is wrong to me. He could play the Z. And I tell you, you look at some of these prospects, right? Mekhi Lemon at USC, you bring him in and now you got your slot, you know, your Khalil Shakur type of slot, if you look at what Buffalo does, and then you could put DK at Z. So I say all that to say, you'll see more of DK kind of moving across the formation and doing more than just a slot receiver.
Teron Davenport is with us. So, Teron, what's the pulse right now for you on Tavondre Sweat? Are they going to trade him?
I believe if they have it their way, they will be able to trade him for, you know, a high day three pick, so like a fourth rounder or something like that. There's a bit of falling out of favor, and I think, you know, a big part of this is just not having, you know, Rand Carthon and Anthony Robinson there. It was always going to be a challenge, you know what I mean, because you had, like, the right situation with those two guys managing Chief Sweat. He didn't have any issues with weight, and none of the issues. And that's not to say there are issues with weight now, but, I mean, I think, you know, the conditioning after him coming back from the injury was a little bit of, and that's going to be like that for anybody. So I say all that to say it would not surprise me if they traded him. I think it's very, very possible. He's one of the more likely guys, in my opinion.
So I guess what I don't understand is he's not going to go to a team where Rand Carthon is going to be there. So the rest of his career, presumably, unless Rand Carthon coincidentally ends up on the team that he is for, like, I know what's been thrown out there, but I just don't get it.
And Anthony Robinson, it's not just those guys. It's a matter of going. If you went to the Jets, you got Aaron Glenn in place who could play that role. You know, if he went to the Raiders, you got their DC in place that could play that role. If you went to the Chargers, you got Minter in place. Like, that's more or less. It's not a matter of it being specifically. Obviously, it's not just Rand and A-Rob. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's a matter of having the right people in place to be able to reach him. And that's a part of personnel management, right? And when you're in these positions, you are a person manager. So you have to be able to reach players. And just like all people, there's going to be different formulas that work and different formulas that don't.
But it seems to me that there seems to be some skepticism that they can get it out of him. Even because I'm thinking, here's a guy that's a unique physical specimen, right? And he's shown that he can be productive in the league. He was their second-round pick. So if you're saying they're going to accept a fourth-round pick, something like that, why wouldn't you try to bring somebody else in for next year that can be that guy, that can lock him back in? Rather than just give them away.
Well, I mean, unless you could predict them signing a coach that is going to be, you know, that, because, I mean, remember, the trade deadline is tomorrow, right? They hire a coach. That's not going to be until January. So there's a lot of time. And then going forward, what if they don't hire the coach? There's too many variables. And, I mean, the bottom line is, and it's not unique to this situation, there are plenty of teams where they have somebody, it doesn't vibe right with the new regime there, and there's a move made.
Right. I'm just saying they seem to have accepted a loss on trading players that were not drafted by them, right? They accepted a loss on Brownlee. They accepted a loss on McCreary, in my opinion. And now it looks like they would accept for their second-round pick, who's young, to take a fourth-rounder. That's just cutting your losses. So I'm seeing a pattern here. That it looks like they're just clearing the decks of everything that happened before they – when I say they, it's really Borgonzi, right? Everybody else was there.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you have a new regime in place, this is what happens. Like, you have roster turnover. And so – you know, this isn't some unique kind of situation. You have roster turnover. If there's a GM and he's in charge with building a roster and a guy may not be in line with the image of the roster that he wants to build or the type of guy, whatever. I'm not saying there's any specific part of it, but I do know that he's somewhat fallen out of favor with this group that's in place. And that falling out of favor is – I'm not going to say that. He's not as much in line with where they are. And that's, I mean, you've seen players get moved. Like you mentioned Brownlee. You know, you look at other guys that could possibly get moved. Yeah, that's the reason why.
One more on Cam. We had a good debate before you came on, Teron. I'd love to get your vision of it. The off-balance throws, the sidearm throws, are you in the camp of let him keep going? Because eventually, as he gets more mature, as he plays more, he'll start to figure out how to complete a higher percentage of those? Or are you starting to worry that he needs to set his feet more? It would go the other way, be a little bit more mechanically sound.
Yeah, you want him to be more mechanically sound, but here's the thing. How do we know all of the things that are going on in his mind as far as the mechanic and the, you know, all of that? How do we know that that's not causing him to be a little inaccurate because he's not playing naturally, you know. And the only thing that's going to get like, with mechanics and techniques and anything like that, and you know from playing baseball, like it's reps.
Yes.
You have to rep it out. And I think it's absurd to expect this man to have a whole new throwing motion perfected in year one. It's just ridiculous to me to expect that. So it's going to take time. But in the meantime, I still think you need to do things that are more conducive to what he does well, a la RPOs, a la play action. You know, you go out there and you run this wildcat stuff and you do that banging your head into the wall, you know, seeing that it's not working, but you don't turn around and have that same stubbornness on something that you know your quarterback does well. And that, to me, is an example of the issues here.
Teron Davenport has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donicky is presented each week by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Take it easy.
You as well. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction on the Titans. We will get back to the Titans in a little bit. But coming up next, the Commodores fall 34-31 to the Texas Longhorns on Saturday. Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee will join us coming up next to discuss that loss and more. 615-737-1025. D-Mace Vingan and Donick is presented to you by Bax Homeworks, remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.